Okay, children, join me up here.
How about the table there? You like that? Come on, I want everybody to get around the table here, okay? All right, come on around here where you can see. I'll show you something here. I don't get all tangled up in these wires. How's everybody today?
Good.
Miss Audrey went to the dollar store the other day, and she purchased a great play toy for me. Any of y'all have any of these? Okay. Now, I want you to watch these. I've played with them for the last 2 weeks. We're going to put that one right there. And we'll have this one in my hand. And I want you to watch what happens. It moved. Are y'all moving back up from the table? Did y'all touch the table? Okay. Well, look at it. It's shivering. And it goes around in circles. And it goes back over here. And moves that way. Whoop. Wow. Have you ever seen anything like that? What is it? It's a magnet. And if you get so close, what happens?
Well.
Now, put it back down here for just a second. Can you see anything going in between them? Can you see? Stewie, can you see anything in between them? But yet, some force, something is moving in between them. It's the magnetic pull. That's right, Will. Now, the reason why I showed you these today, because in the Bible, it says, Acts 1:8, it says, "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Remember we talked about that verse a few weeks ago?
Yes.
All right. Well, when we receive Jesus into our lives, it's actually the very Spirit of Jesus Himself who comes to live in us. And His name is the Holy Spirit. And He has power in our lives. We can't always see that power. Just like this magnetic pull. We can't see that. But it still exists, right? Even though we can't see it. We know it's there because of what we see happening. The Holy Spirit is like that. He works in our lives. We can't always see. Just like this morning, while we were worshiping here and singing, there were a couple of people that were shedding some tears because the Spirit of God was working in their lives. There are several others that were laughing out loud because they were happy about the Lord. The Spirit was moving in them, tugging at their heart. I want y'all as children, you know, when you get to be big people like us, sometimes you can not pay attention to the real important things, the simple things. I want y'all to pay attention today to the fact that the Holy Spirit is working in your life too. He's speaking to you. Listen to you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for these children. I pray, Lord, with the seed of truth that has been planted here today, Lord, that your Holy Spirit now will water that. Take care of Miss Tobe, okay? Thank you, Davo. And these are so much fun. You can throw them up in the air and listen to this. Isn't that just the coolest thing in the world?
I've played with them for 2 weeks. And I said, you know, somehow there's got to be a way. Dane thinks that's the way I come up with most of my sermons. I start with an embarrassing story I want to tell about somebody and then build a sermon around it. Now, don't shake your heads in agreement. Please. It's good to see you today. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. I want to start with a time of prayer right now. John, will you put that picture of Josh up there for us? Tomorrow's Memorial Day. You know, Columbus, Georgia, Macon, Georgia, Richmond, Virginia, and a host of other cities in what we would call the northern part of the United States claim to be the founding places of Memorial Day observance in our country. Well, wherever it started, it surely didn't start with a unique idea with us, because from the time that sin entered the world and war came into people's lives, young men and women have been called forth to go forth and defend their country. We have the privilege of living in probably the freest country in the history of mankind. Definitely for the longest length of time. We have relaxed on the lap of this luxury, the freedom of religion, the freedom to be able to assemble here, that Bill of Rights that we have, the way our government is set up as a democratic republic, the checks and balances that we just assume are everywhere else in the world, we often take for granted. Freedom is not free. It has been purchased, beginning with Jesus purchasing our freedom on the cross. But then you think of every petty dictator that lives on the face of this planet today who would like to take away the freedom that you have. And right now, even all over the world, people are plotting. We have many Islamic fundamentalists that would love to take this country down and take away the freedom that we have. We have some in our own government who would like to take away our freedoms. Over the weekend, I've read several who have made quotes about the system. They'd like to change it for their own petty interests. We thank God for what He has done. On the display there is Josh Byers. Josh was a member of our church back years ago. Gave his life in Iraq, and improvised explosive device exploded under his Humvee. And this young man who told me that his one desire, when I asked him, his dad was a church planter, mom and dad were church planters. And when they came to us, I asked him, I said, Josh, how did you get in the Army? He said, well, when I was just a young boy, after I'd come to know Jesus, he said, I realized that God had His hand on my life. I was going to serve my country and serve the Lord by serving in the armed forces. And his desire was to be a tank captain. He went to West Point, had a distinguished career, and got his desire to be a tank captain and gave his life for our country. On Memorial Day tomorrow, we will remember so many of these. One of my cousins in World War II jumped out of an airplane, a paratrooper, landed on a mine, never got to fire the first shot, but landed on a landmine and gave his life for his country. There are others of you who have family members. How many of you have family members that lost their lives. Would you join me as we pray a prayer of thanksgiving and pray a prayer of intercession for our country? Let's pray together. Lord, today, as we pause this moment, we say thank you, Jesus, for dying in our place on the cross that we might have life. We remember you. And Lord, on this day, we thank you also for the freedom we have enjoyed in this country. We ask you, Lord, for your comfort to all the families today who have lost loved ones in war. I thank you for these men and women who have laid down their lives, who have given the ultimate sacrifice. Lord, thank you for that long line, that line of blood shed for freedom. Lord, we do intercede for our country today, for those who lead our country, all of our elected officials. I pray today that you would remove any sense that we can in any way take for granted what has gone before. Lord, I ask that you would come and invade every state house, that you would come with your spirit to Washington, D.C., and Lord, that you would change hearts and minds and draw us back to you. Thank you. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Any of you ever read A.W. Tozer? Anybody? Great. He was Christian Missionary Alliance author, pastor, years ago. Born in 1897. Died at the age of 66. My favorite book of his is the book called The Pursuit of God. And my favorite part of that book is the preface. In the preface, he tells a story. He says he is alluding back to what happened on Mount Carmel with Elijah and the prophets of Baal they had that showdown between Elijah over here and all the hundreds of prophets of Baal and all of Jezebel's forces on one side, evil, and the Lord on the other. And he said, modern evangelicalism is like this. It's like you have assembled everyone up on Mount Carmel, he calls it Lofty Carmel. You have built the sacrificial table. You have put the sacrifice there with no thought that fire has not come from heaven to consume the sacrifice. All form and no function. Because in the story, that's what happened. Prophets of Baal weep and mourn and cut themselves and dance and do all this religious stuff around the altar, and then when nothing happens, and then when Elijah steps up to the plate, he prays and God answers by fire. And you remember the story, the flames leap from heaven and come down and consume everything. Today, for just a few moments, I want you to consider the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Do you feel this invisible force? Sometimes making that unusual sound to your soul. Where you know something's working, you know someone is there, you know there's a presence, you know there's a power, you know that something's going on, but you can't quite describe it. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's often the forgotten person of the Trinity. We do believe in a triune God, one God expressed in three persons. A later discussion for a later day, but we'll get to that and see that how that works. He's often spoken of as an it, and in evangelicalism, in Christianity, you have some groups of people who think they own him. That they know everything about him. If you don't believe it, read their books. I have. And then you have others that seem to think that he's some toy that you can just manipulate him by using these magical conjurings of prayers that is really just witchcraft. Has nothing to do with the Bible. Has nothing to do with the presence of God. It's just using Him. If you have the right incantation, if you have the right music, if you have the right combination of things, you get the feeling, man. And you know it's the Spirit. Really? Really? What issues from that? What are the results? Chuck Swindoll, about 20 years ago. Chuck Swindoll? You had to have heard him on the radio. He's still on the radio. Written about this many books. A voice in the evangelical, a voice in the Christian community, a voice to be reckoned with. He was on the cover of Christianity Today magazine, and he was sitting on a Harley. And which got my attention, and as he's sitting there on the Harley, I opened up, read the article about it, and I'll never forget. He said the thing I struggle with Christians in America today, he says that we've gotten good enough, we think, that we can mimic the Holy Spirit. We've gotten good enough that we can orchestrate a worship service, a personal time, to make it look like. That's what mimic means. You're making it look like. It's not the genuine article, but boy, it looks like it. There's a verse in the New Testament that speaks to that. It says, having a form of godliness. What's the other part? But denying the power thereof. Pardon me, I memorized it in the King James in another life. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power. Yeah. Is the Holy Spirit working in your life? Now, please, right now, some of you race ahead and say, oh, Pastor, you're talking about elementary things to me. Well, you know what? I watched a baseball player that I love and admire the other day who's been playing baseball. I mean, he makes millions of dollars at it. But you know what? I should have had him on my little league team because he made a very elementary mistake. And then I saw him do it again, trying to field a baseball. Lest we forget that humility. Do you have a teachable spirit? Or do you have an obstinate spirit? Can you be open to the Lord? We live in unprecedented times. Would you say that? Would you agree with me about that? Rick read it to us from Joel 3 weeks ago. When he read that, what was that phrase? Have you ever seen anything like this before? What was it, Rick? I can't remember. We've never seen anything like this before. That's in the book of Joel. What, 2,600 years ago? 2,700 years ago. He's writing that, and he's saying that then. Boy, I can make a case for it today. Unprecedented times. What a time that we need to hear from God and know that the Spirit of God is moving. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. You better listen fast because I'm going to leave you quickly. Which, by the way, as I prayed this morning, the Lord said that I'd be speaking today to at least two different kinds of people. One would be people who really were kind of afraid of the Holy Spirit and who felt like they didn't know much about and have been keeping themselves pushed away. And I'd also be speaking to people who in arrogance thought they already knew enough and were stumbling over the simplest of truths about the Holy Spirit. You can spot humility from the street, can't you? And arrogance from South Carolina. Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning. Where do we start? At the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void. There would have been volumes written about that. And darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God, right there, was moving. Another word would be was brooding over the surface of the deep. Of the waters. You got that picture now? Now, if you take this picture, I'm not going to do it for you today, but I will in the near future. If you take this picture of the creation story here, you can then put it like as a grid over here and see how the Spirit of God works in our lives personally. Do you believe the Spirit of God is brooding over Savannah, Georgia right now? Do you believe as He looks at things down here that there's a lot of chaos that without form and void as He looks at things? I guarantee you that's how He looks. But see, when you let Him come and move, look what begins. Look, you can look at the days of creation And you can see how light comes. There comes a division between right and wrong. You see that there's that life comes. And finally, you get to the sixth day and you see the pinnacle of God's creation. Here is man and woman struck in the image of God. The very image of God. I don't understand all what all that means, but part of it is that we have a choice. We have the prerogative to choose, which is a God-given part of our creation. That we get to choose. No other of His creation gets that privilege. We do. But you follow it, and you can see He goes from brooding over to then being invited in. It's a powerful message. What role does the Holy Spirit have in your life right now? Demonstrable things you can say, okay, Pastor, this is how the Holy Spirit's working in my life right now. I know I can see Him working. Let me give you an example. You pray about something and you forget you've prayed about it. A week later, bam, there's that answer. And it seems like that answer comes from a place that you wouldn't have expected to pray it forth from. I was listening to this guy's teaching one time, and he was talking about praying things forth from a situation. But there was one fatal flaw in his teaching, because the fatal flaw assumed that you would know what to ask for when you came to God. You don't, do you? Because at last, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, do you? What's it going to look like? What things are you going to be facing tomorrow? Could you have imagined the world as it sits today? When you were a child. Some of you that are closer to my age. Could you have imagined that? I couldn't. It's bigger, deeper, wider, longer, stronger, weaker, everything that I could have ever imagined. So I need Vance Havner called him the wind from elsewhere. Another said he's the one who stirs the pot. I need this presence of God. When Jesus was talking about God with us, who is He talking about? He would be with us via His Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus. Can you live without the Holy Spirit working in your life today? Someone asked me this past week, we were praying over something. They said, Pastor, I don't know what to do about this. How many times a week do you say that? Huh? Anybody? Well, three of them. Yeah, I figured the rest of us pray. You're looking at it and say, I don't know. I came to the fork in the road and I'm saying, is there a third option? You know, where's the trap door that gets me out of having to choose one of these? Because, you know, I'm looking at it. It's not going to work. Or I don't think it is. Is God ever late? Careful. Is he early? I doubt that too. But is he right on time? So what does that mean he's trying to do with the circumstances of your life? How many of you have prayed for more money recently? Okay. How many of you prayed for being a better steward with the money you had? Okay. How many of you have prayed for the reduction of the bills so that the money will go farther? How many of you prayed that your mailbox would just be taken away and they wouldn't have access to you anymore? Okay. Do you see? Is it always about him giving you more money? How many ways can he answer a prayer? Well, he's God. He can do whatever he wants to do. You're praying and you say, Lord, I need this, but is he just about answering that thing that you're praying about? Or does that then become the access point to your soul where you're now willing to let the Spirit of God come and move in you so He can conform you to the image of Christ? That's what He's after. All this stuff is just stuff. The money goes away. But if I just had enough gold, well, what happens to gold and the price of gold? Up and down. And you know what? If I'm really sick, all the gold in the world can't make me well. I surely can't eat it. You got it? Can you follow me? The Spirit of God was brooding, hovering over the water. He is hovering over you right now. He is waiting for you to cooperate with Him so He can then begin 6 days. How do you say it? You know, there's a lot of ways you can say six, right? 6 days of creation where God brings something out of nothing. Our world is waiting to see that in and through us. Y'all watch the eyes of these children as they looked at these magnets this morning. The delight in their eyes. There's several of you that were tuned in pretty closely too. And you saw the delight of something that was almost magical. It's not magical. It's God. It's God doing His creative work. Now I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to send you out of here to contemplate what we talked about today. And to ask you this week if you'll just cooperate with the Holy Spirit.
He's hovering. He's brooding over you. He's ready to work. And I want you to know, I'm going to keep my ear, my spiritual ear, to the ground this week so I can hear some of this sound. Well, no. God's working. Have you heard that sound in the spirit realm this week? Where you knew God was working, was doing something. I'm looking at some of you right now. Where I've seen God work this week. I thank you. Because you're an answer to prayer. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for your word clear and plain. I thank you today that you are working in our lives right now. Your spirit is moving in us. Lord, that you are hovering over us right now. Come. Come, Lord. We're inviting you to our lives personally. We're inviting you to this body. We're inviting you to Savannah, Georgia. Come.